yeah, let's roll into this and then we'll you know. If you know what
I don't think I know what that means.
I don't know.
Is that a TikTok sound?
No, I think that's
WhatsApp. WhatsApp?
Maybe. Yeah, I think it might be WhatsApp. What's up with you?
Welcome to Namely 90s, the podcast that takes you back to the time before smartphones, Google, and Y2K. Join your hosts as they relive the pop culture that shaped a generation and the parts that many people wish they could forget. Listen in to the conversation about how the decade defined those who spent their childhood there and how it shaped them as adults. So, turn down the grunge and dial up the internet. Let's get started. It's time for Namely 90s.
That's right, you're listening to Namely 90s. My name's Andrew, and over there is Brandon.
That's me.
You can find us online at namely90s.com or on Twitter and Instagram at namely90s with a 90s. You can also find this show on YouTube every Monday at namely90s.com/YouTube. And finally, if you'd like to support the show, head over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/namely90s, also with a 90s, and get signed up for a support level.
Didn't you have like a pop filter on that thing?
Pop filter. I actually ran my mouth into it when I was talking. So I apologize. I apologize for my
plosives,
particularly plosives.
Or did you take the windsock off?
No, it's always been like this.
It looks different. Why does it look different?
That's what she said. I think out. I just moved it slightly more in front of my mouth hole so gotcha. I can just like slightly move it away from my mouth hole.
Got it.
But now my camera and my microphone stand, when they rotate, are attached. So it's kind of a problem.
Why?
Because that's where the clip for the camera mount clips to. I have nothing else to clip it to.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What happened to the tripod?
I have to clear floor space so I can put a second mic in here for Kayla's podcast.
Gotcha. So,
yeah, all the tripods and lamps were taking up too much floor space. But it's much better now. Now I've just got a disused computer and a space heater, even though it's like 90 degrees in here.
They're sticking with the non-omnidirectional mic for their podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I told them they could just get one of those Yetis and just like plonk it down on a coffee table. Mm-hmm. But I'm a sound, I mean, well, you more so, I don't know. I like good sound, and I think it's important.
Yeah, but it's, if two people in the same room with our types of, your type of microphone is not going to end well for whoever's editing that mess.
Yeah, it'll probably be okay.
It's going to be me, isn't it?
Yes. moving on. So what's new? The Jurassic Park special. I listened to it. It was very long. It was very good. That's what she said. What's new with
way
you?
Way to praise yourself. Well, since another movie came out this week that relates to the 90s, I saw Lightyear today.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're recording the Thursday of last week, which is when Lightyear technically came out.
So to get into characters, Chris Evans had to get like super coked up before recording.
You know, he does a really good Tim Allen, which is weird. Like there's only like one or two points where I'm like, oh, that sounds like Captain America instead of
the guy from Impressive. Home Improvement.
And so the movie, this is going to be mostly a spoiler free review, but I'm going to tell you what the title card says, or something akin to it. It was, in 1995, Andy received a Buzz Lightyear toy for his birthday. This is the movie that toy was based off of. I'm just like, why the fuck would you put, oh, sorry, I don't know if we're swearing this episode. Why the F would you put that in before the movie even starts? Like,
I don't know.
It's supposed to be like
Captain Improvement. No,
because it's supposed to be like, it's supposed to be, or we thought it was supposed to be like the meta or the reboot of the movie franchise within the Toy Story universe. Then we find out this is the movie that he watched prior to the start of Toy Story to be excited about Buzz Lightyear. And so in 1995, they had the computer graphics of 2022. My brain hurts, and I think my nose is bleeding.
Oh, that's healthy.
Well, no, like they went an extra meta step that was unnecessary. You just
be
like,
just stop.
You don't need to tie it in Toy Story. Like, we understand that it's Buzz Lightyear. It's named Lightyear. Other than that, you know, it was a typical Pixar movie. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
so what's your review?
I would give it 7 Space Rangers out of 10.
7 Space Rangers out of 10.
Like, it wasn't groundbreaking. I did like that they, another reason why it wouldn't have existed in 1995 is because they had a lesbian couple, featured in it. And they weren't, well, they were in it. So, you know, that instantly disqualifies it for being a 90s film.
No fat jokes or homophobia.
Yeah. Yeah. There are no fat jokes. definitely was not a movie that came out in 1995. Just saying. But no, it was good. It was predictable. They did a twist on. So there's a throwaway joke in Toy Story 2 where Zurg is Buzz's father. So spoilers for the next minute, Zurg is not Buzz's father in this film, but they do the joke dad at some point.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm just going to leave that like that. That's no longer a spoiler free review, but welcome back. If you skipped ahead by 1 minute, good job.
Yeah. Now we're going to talk about Game of Thrones for 27 minutes, even though it's been off the air.
Yes. It wasn't bad. It's the first movie that I've been back to where there were a bunch of kids in the theater, which I didn't think there would be kids in the theater at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But
lies. I mean, not lies. But.
I guess school's over. I guess it is like late June. But still, you know, all those unvaccinated 5-year-olds trying just coughing in your face.
Oh, cute. So cute.
No, it wasn't exactly like that, but you know, unless you're like a real diehard Toy Story fan, I think you could wait until it comes to Disney Plus and probably like,
yeah, I don't think days. I would go see it. Like, I have to go try to see Jurassic World, yeah, and that's gonna be enough of a stretch, and I actually want to see that.
Well, I would assume your kids would want to see Lightyear.
I'm not taking my kids anywhere. They don't behave well enough in public to go to a movie. Are you kidding?
That's fair. Also, hi to the therapist that's listening to this recording right now in 20 years or so. How's the earth? Is it on fire?
Here?
No, I'm talking to the therapist. It doesn't matter what we're saying.
Okay, sorry. You're asking about the weather.
Yeah. No, instantly he forgets that his child is showing this as evidence for why he thinks his parents hate him.
Yeah.
No. So another exciting thing for me this week is I finally bloody got my order in for the Nintendo 64 classic controllers for the Nintendo Switch. So next time you and Kayla are in town, we're playing Mario Kart on the N64 controllers.
Very cool.
Yes. Well, it's been almost a year, and they've just come back in stock recently, and I missed the last restocking, so just randomly looked at it on a Wednesday at 11 in the morning, and I got it. I did it, and now to sell them for $500 a piece on eBay.
There you go. Good man.
No, I'm just a fuck scalpers. Guess this episode's getting an e-tag, and it's Brandon's fault for once.
Yeah, no, that's great. It was 77 and cloudy here today, but it was actually warm for the first time. All it's done is rain and rain and rain and then rain some more. I moved away from Seattle for a reason, and then it rained more, and then the news people were like, it's still gonna be a drought, and I'm like, well, what the hell's the point? Like, I don't even know, like, nothing matters anymore. Oh,
that one got me.
And then it rained. And I have a leak in my shed, and I kept thinking, oh, summer's coming. It'll be fine. It's not fine.
So are you underwater currently?
No, it's just there's some water damage to the trim around the window, but
you know. It's not too bad.
No, it's been good. It's been good. But here we are again.
Cool.
Well, boy, do you want to tell us what was going on there in January? Please pardon me. I think I might be dying mentally. What? Again. So, Brandon, why don't you tell us what was going on in January of 1999?
But first, it occurs to me that this is good. It's Monday, June 20th. Yeah, travel back with me, listeners, to January 1999. On the first, we have a couple things. The euro currency is introduced. Oh. Also, the Biography Channel, a spinoff of A&E, is launched. And another channel, the DIY Network, is launched, which is a spinoff of HDTV.
And both of these networks show entirely ghost shows now.
Yeah, pretty much, right? Although I feel like DIY does like reruns of...
Well, do you know DIY Network is now like... I'm pretty sure it's the Magnolia Network for Chip and Joanna Gaines.
I was going to say they show knockoff Mythbusters, but no, I guess not. I don't watch these channels.
Oh, God, there's one called Motor Mythbusters on Car and Driver or Motor Trend. It's so terrible. Yeah, Magnolia Network.
That sounds terrible.
Chip and JoJo.
The third, the Mars Polar Lander is launched by NASA. On the fourth, Jesse Ventura, former pro wrestler, is sworn in as the governor of Minnesota. Remember that?
Minnesota? No, I don't remember that at all.
You don't remember Jesse Ventura? I know Ventura that he was, the governor but
I don't remember it happening.
Okay. On the seventh, the impeachment trial of Bill Clinton starts, which seems a little late.
Bill who? No, just kidding.
On the 11th, Jon Stewart debuts as the host of The Daily Show, replacing Craig Kilborn, who apparently moved to the Late Late Show on CBS. I didn't realize that.
And then who went to the Late 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 Show? Was that the Ron Popeil selling the knives at 4 a.m?
I don't think that's how it works. They usually get boosted up, not back.
Okay. The Late 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 Show. Got it.
So just be the Late Show.
The latest show.
On the 13th, Michael Jordan announces his second retirement from basketball. And I don't think it sticks this time either. On the 21st, Super Smash Brothers is released for the Nintendo 64 in Japan. It's April in the US, but we did not cover that on our April 1999 episode of Name.
That's okay, because I kind of despise that game.
Just because you're bad at it.
It's really bad at it.
On the 23rd, Gene Siskel hosts his final episode of Siskel and Ebert because he's taking time off for the rest of the season. But he ends up dying during brain surgery before returning in the fall.
Rip to the max.
Rip to the max. I want to say Gene Siskel, not Ebert.
Yeah, Roger Ebert, Gene Siskel.
Because Ebert's still alive. Mm-hmm. On the 31st, Denver Broncos win their second consecutive Superb Owl prior to the premiere of Family Guy. Yeah, that works. And also on the 31st, Silent Hill for the PlayStation 1 and SimCity 3000 for the PC is released-ish.
Probably. Oh, yeah, SimCity.
SimCity 3000, I'm pretty sure you had that. Or at least 2000. You had one of the thousands.
Yeah.
Since there are a lot of birthdays of Gen Zers, I want to say, in January of 1999, all with very unique names, I've developed a little game for you, Andrew. Do you want to play a little game?
What does it say that I don't recognize a single name on that list?
Right. So the game we're playing is Gen Z actor in quotation marks or random Star Wars character.
This is good.
We're gonna start out with this. So either this is a random Star Wars character that I picked because I was at Star Wars Celebration while I was creating this I was still feeling high as Star Wars Celebration when I wrote this episode, or it's an actual Gen Z actor, actress,
okay.
or
right.
singer, so, something performing person, whose birthday was in January of 1999, and we're gonna start with Diamond White.
I'm gonna go Gen Z.
That is correct. Diamond White is a Gen Z singer born January 1st, 1999, and also an actress. She was in a Chicago-based production of The Color Purple and apparently was on The X Factor in 2012, or that might just be,
Simon Cowell was like, "Yo, crap."
She auditioned for it. Excuse me.
Okay. You crap.
Next one up is Kanan Jarrus.
Star Wars.
You are correct. Kanan Jarrus is, in fact, the Jedi youngling that escapes Order 66 in The Bad Batch. And he becomes, I think he had a different name, and then becomes Kanan Jarrus for the TV series Star Wars Rebels.
All right.
Next up is Depa Balaba.
I want to go with Gen Z. Whoops.
I know, it doesn't feel like they should be Gen Z. Sorry, Andrew. Master Depa Balaba is from Star Wars. She was actually Kanan Jarrus's Jedi Master.
Okay.
You see her die. Spoilers.
It's good.
Bad Batch. All right. Number four is Gage Monroe.
Gen Z.
Gage Monroe is, in fact, a Gen Z Canadian actor, known for Nobody in 2021, Transplant in 2022, and The Shack in 2017. Never heard of him.
Okay.
He was also in Falling Skies. That's something I've heard of.
Noah Wiley. John Carter was in that. But John Carter, but not Keanu Reeves.
I'm assuming this was a single episode that he was in. Wait, what?
No, what?
No, Gage Monroe. No,
I was like, yeah, what?
All right. Fifth on the list. I think this is 11 people. I was just going to pick random ones, but we could do all 11. Mirari Danner.
Gen Z.
Why would you say that? It sounds so Star Wars.
Because you shouldn't have struggled to say it if it was a Star Wars character.
There's not supposed to be an extra R in there. That's why. Mirai Danner is a Turkish actress born January 15th. Born in Istanbul, Turkey. Don't know much about her. Credits for TV shows, including Wounded Love, Respect, One Liter of Tears, that's liter spelled with an E, R-E, and Med, nope, moving on. Finis Valorum.
Star Wars.
Finis Valorum is, in fact, a Star Wars character. Do you know what he's from? He's from the prequels. He's the chancellor in episode one that Palpatine gets dethroned so that he could become chancellor.
Oh, okay.
Yes. All the politics. You know, the greatest part about Star Wars is the galactic politics.
Rigged elections, certifying the votes, the committee hearings.
Exactly. Next up, we have Cal Kestis. Do you know Cal Kestis?
I want to say Gen Z because it sounds too much like a Star Wars name.
That's why I picked it, but it is in fact a Star Wars name.
Darn it.
Cal Kestis is the hero of Jedi Fallen Order that just got a second video game coming out, announced at Star Wars Celebration. So I think you've only missed two so far, right?
Okay.
All right. So we have Karan Brar.
Gen Z.
That is correct. Karan K-A-R-A-N Brar is an American actor. He portrayed Chirag Gupta in Diary of a Wimpy Kid film franchise and Ravi Ross on the Disney Channel original series Jesse and Bunked which apparently is a sequel spinoff series of Jesse.
None of this is anything.
I've never seen it, but the girl is in something from that is in like Cobra Kai or something. Three more, right?
Yep.
Three more. We still have time. Ezra Bridger. Do you know Ezra Bridger?
Gen Z.
Ezra Bridger is actually the young Jedi Padawan from Rebels that Kanan mentors.
Okay.
The Lothrat. He's from Lothal. And then he disappears at the end of the series with Thrawn. And we're thinking the new Ahsoka series is going to pick up the search for Ezra in live action. Two more. Mateus Ward. Sorry, my watch was going off. Mateus Ward.
Star Wars.
Ooh, I'm sorry. Mateus Ward is an American Gen Z actor. He was in Criminal Minds, NCIS, Lab Rats, Parenthood, all these shows that you've seen, probably just for one episode, though. His role as Jake Sanders in the CBS television series Hostages.
Oh, that was the Colonel Sanders biopic.
No. Although he could probably pull off Colonel Sanders.
Well, I meant his son. He's like his spoiled trust fund child.
Oh yeah, that would be perfect. Was that actually a plot point?
No, I don't know.
So now you've missed four.
It's a hot mess.
Leaves you at 60%. So I think you need to get the last one to stay above a failing grade, right?
Sure.
All right. Last one is Maverick Moreno. Maverick
Moreno. Star Wars.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Andrew. Maverick Moreno, spelled correctly, by the way, is a Gen Z actor, and he was most recently in the Lethal Weapon TV series. And he's known as his main role as Mac Davis in the first season of Every Which Way, which was, I think, it's Portuguese or Spanish kids drama about witches in school or something.
Wow, these people are nobody. Okay, moving on.
Oh, they put it on Nickelodeon.
They're one of the few that they're one of the group. They're the group of. Okay, boy. They're the few Gen Zers who haven't died by eating Tide Pods yet.
Well, they are only all 23. Born January 30th, 1999. All right, TV premiering and ending in January 1999, or just premiering. Oh no, premiering and ending. On the first, we have Cold Case Files on A&E. This is all premiering right now. On the fourth, we have Ed, and Eddie on Cartoon Network. On the 10th, we have Batman Beyond on WB Kid or Kids WB. On the 10th, we have The Sopranos, HBO. On the 11th, we have The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. On the 25th, we have Dilbert on UPN. On the 30th, we have The Jersey on the Disney Channel. And finally, on the 31st, we have Family Guy on Fox, which I believe we talked about, or else.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, at length. Ending in January 1999. On the 1st, we have Where on Earth is Carmen Sandiego? And on the 16th, The New Batman Adventures, which is after the week after Batman Beyond premiered.
The New That's Batman weird. Adventures of 1999.
Mm-hmm. That name aged well. In the box office, on the 15th, we have Varsity Blues. On the 23rd, we have Disney Channel original movie Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century. And on the 29th, we have She's All That, which we... I believe kicked off our 2022 specials.
We sure did.
Valentine's Day special.
We sure did.
And over on the Billboard charts, number one for January 1999 in from December of 1998 for the first 2 weeks is I'm Your Angel by R. Kelly and Celine Dion. And for the next 2 weeks is Have You Ever by Brandy. And finally, the last week and out into February is Baby One More Time by Miss Brittany Spears.
Consequently, that was going to be an R. Kelly song, but
congratulations to Britney Spears on her wedding. Mm-hmm. Continuing on for third week of January 1999, at number five, we have Save Tonight by Eagle Eye Cherry. Number six, we have Hands by our Lord and Savior, Jewel.
Praise be to Jewel.
Number seven, we have Slide by Goo Goo Dolls. No? Number 12, we have... seven? Number seven, we have Lullaby by Sean Mullins. I like that song. Number 10, we have Slide by Goo Goo Dolls. Number 12, we have Jumper by Third Eye Blind. Number 13, Angel by Sarah McLachlan.
In the arms of the angel.
Number 14, Take Me There by Blackstreet featuring Maya featuring Maze. Oh, sorry. Take Me There by Blackstreet and Maya featuring Maze and Blinky Blink.
He opened the website boingboing.com.
That is factually inaccurate. Do you remember what the song is from?
Nope.
This is from the Rugrats movie soundtrack.
Oh, boy.
Where they sampled the original theme song for this song. Number 18, Miami by Will Smith.
Miami.
Number 19 is Can I Get by JZ. And number 20 is Iris by, again, Goo Goo Dolls. And now let's toss it over to Gaz and Dange from the Insanely Dangerous Retro Pod Show with what was happening back in January of 1996, because someone got the assignment wrong.
Engage.
Good evening. Here are your headlines for January 1996 in the UK. Much of Britain is stuck with sub-zero temperatures and snowstorms. Schools and transports are disrupted. Earth Song hits UK number one. And Showgirls is released in the UK cinemas.
Ooh, tremendous stuff there from the Retro Monthinator. An icy cold blast from the past air, Danger Man. Good old Wacko took a glimpse into the future and he saw how screwed we were going to end up. Little did we know. Looks like we've been saved by the bell, though. So back over to those spectacularly sweaty showgirls, Brandon and Andrew.
Thank you, Gaz, for that one. And Ange, for those informative January of 1996 headlines. If you'd like to follow up on these March 1990 UK headlines, check out the segment What Happened Way Back When on this Thursday's episode of the Insanely Dangerous Retro Pod Show. And stick around until the end, because Andrew and I do a weekly segment over on the Insanely Dangerous Retro Pod Show called Quotely 90s, where we make Gaz and Dange guess a quote from a movie and, you know, guess actors and stuff like that. Plus, we'll give you a sneak peek of what we're talking about on next Monday's episode.
Oh, wow. Let's go to Brandon for the Namely 90s Minute.
Welcome back to our mid-episode break, Namely 90s Minute. Every week, we take a look back at a culturally relevant show, movie, or piece of pop culture that probably helps stoke the algorithm. This week, in honor of Lightyear's release, we are looking back at the movie that started it all, Toy Story. Toy Story is a 1995 computer animated comedy film from Pixar and Disney, written by the problematic creator of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, among others, and featuring the music of the guy who wrote I Love LA. It features a brilliant voice acting cast with the guy who screams Wilson in Castaway as Woody, Tim the Toolman Taylor as Buzz Lightyear, Ernest as Slinky Dog, the guy from the Don Rickles show as Mr. Potato Head, Inconceivable Guy from The Princess Bride as Rex, Cliff Clavin from Cheers as Ham, the receptionist from Ghostbusters as Bo Peep, Brink from Brink as Sid, the evil kid next door, Jackie from The Connors as Andy's mom, and the guy from the History Channel mail call as Sarge. The Toy Story starts with a group of toys that come to life when their owner isn't around. How is that not a horror film? The owner, Andy, really loves his Woody. Really? This is a children's film? But then on his birthday, he receives a hot new toy based off of a movie that he just saw, Buzz Lightyear. Lightyear is a space ranger and doesn't know that he's a toy. Andy's Woody tries to convince him otherwise, to no success, and as Andy's Woody grows jealous of Andy's relationship with Buzz, Andy's Woody pushes Buzz out a window and then regrets it immediately and tries to save him. They then go on an adventure that takes them to Pizza Planet, where they meet green aliens who worship their claw game's claw, and eventually are taken home by Andy's neighbor Sid, who is either a giant psychopath or just a really creative kid who is neglected by his parents and not supported in his creative arts. More on that in a second. As he's playing with Buzz and Andy's Woody, Sid tapes Buzz to a bottle rocket, but his toys then come to life, scar him emotionally, and derail his life so much that in a future sequel of Toy Story, he ends up as a garbage man. Buzz and Andy's Woody then escape and use RC car to catch up with the moving van that Andy and his family are moving in. Buzz lights the red rocket on his back and falls in style with Andy's Woody into Andy's lap. And that's Toy Story in an 80s minute. More or less.
And now, back to the show.
Anywhere you want to go?
Well, it looks like we have some options here.
The only one we have to hit is the one that we mentioned on Quotely 90s.
I think... Which one did we mention on Quotely?
Zetus Lepidus, Andrew. A Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century. Ugh, duh. God,
no, shoot me now. All right, Super Smash, Xenon, and Daily Show.
Oh, I think we already did an episode on the Daily Show, but it was Craig Kilborn, but we talked about the Jon Stewart Daily Show a lot. So that's kind of a trap for you.
Did we? That doesn't sound familiar.
We did. But if we want to start at Super Smash Brothers and work our way down.
Sure.
Definitely tell you. Super Smash Brothers, you hate it. Why do you hate it?
A couple reasons. Primarily, I'm bad at it, and all I can do is button mash, and it doesn't really help. And I think we overplayed it to a degree, but if you're bad at it, then that's why you would feel like you overplayed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be honest. I like the Super Smash.
Oof. I see.
Heartburn. I love the Super Smash Brothers franchise. That first one, though, is a little rough. I remember playing it. I owned it. I know I owned it. Actually, I owned it on the 64. I remember playing it a little bit, but we were all more into Mario Kart in the neighborhood. But really? Then
I distinctly remember always playing Gold Smash. Nine, Gold yeah.
Run. Really?
Well, Mario Kart. No. But like, apparently I was an old person when we were kids, because even then I couldn't see it. It was too small.
Well, TVs were smaller back
true.
Then.
True.
And square. So Super Smash Brothers, I don't remember playing it a lot on the 64. We played it a lot on the GameCube. I think, right? No? Yes?
I can't yes, remember no. distinctly.
It was better on the GameCube, because the GameCube had a better controller. You weren't using the stupid N64 controller, which I bought four of for the Switch, by the way.
Yeah, someone suggested we play Super Smash in college when all we played was mm-hmm. Mario Kart. And I think I almost murdered them when they suggested that. I was like,
well, it's
a whole different vibe. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. And playing the N64 Smash is just, it's so, like, going back to it is so hard. There's the, there's no dodging, there's no Z roll. There's a lot to it that, like, the game definitely improved with Melee. I think Melee is still everyone's standard. I do like the current iterations. I've had every iteration of Smash, over the years, including the ones on the handheld and the Wii U, which the Wii U sucks. No offense. I know you have
the kids like it.
Yeah. It's just, it wasn't a good, it's a half step console, and I know this isn't my place to complain about it, but
it is.
That's just Smash Brothers. We would, I had friends that they would just sit around playing the N64 and that version of Smash Brothers, and it's like, why? Like,
yeah. That's like doing all of your homework at school on like DOS. Weren't yeah, perfect.
And with like a broken keyboard, because by that point, all the N64 controllers were like, the joysticks were all
right.
Terrible.
Shanked up.
Yep. And it's just in general, it has a good character selection. I didn't even
read.
For those of you that don't know, Super Smash Bros. On the N64, 1999 crossover fighting video game developed by HAL Laboratory, that's Kirby, I think, and published by Nintendo for the Nintendo 64. You had Mario, you had Zelda, you had Star Fox, you had Yoshi, you had Donkey Kong, you had Metroid, you had F-Zero, Captain Falcon, Mother, which, or Earthbound, according to our English people, Americans. Kirby, and you had Pikachu and Jigglypuff from Pokemon. Do you remember, do you know who you main? Do you have mains for Smash Brothers?
I don't.
It sounds like you really just hate it now.
No, I really don't care for it. No, I don't think I had a main character because I really tried to avoid it.
Do you, how about a stage that you liked? Do you remember a stage that you liked?
No, no, I
just
really
hated all of it.
No, I really did. I tried to just hang because that was the thing to do, but not fun for me.
I think on the N64, my main was Link when we were kids. Link or Pikachu. But as I got older, I just to hang with the people in college that were like playing this 24/7, like I would need to use either Mario or Donkey Kong or Kirby just to like be able to counterbalance how like crazy good they were. If that makes sense. Going back to this older game.
Yeah, the thing about people who play video games, I was gonna say kids, but kind of everybody, is like, I think it's, you don't realize how unfun it is to be the person who sucks. And then you're just like beating the crap out of them and you're like, this is great. And they're like, yeah. And then eventually they just lose interest and like, don't want to come over anymore.
Yep. That's why I would always make sure not to beat you too badly at anything.
That, well, some people did not have that same impulse.
So. That is true. That is true.
So you gotta change it up every now and then, you know?
You gotta, and those are lessons I carry with me when I play my niece and nephew at this game, because I can kill them.
You just obliterate them and then you just like kick them over in real life.
Yeah, just push them down.
Take that. It's like
who's the quarterback? Peyton Manning, SNL bit where he's like mentoring kids. He just like throws the ball straight in the kid's face.
Kids get picked off.
Pretty much, yeah. But yeah, before we move on to the next subject, my current mains for Smash Brothers Ultimate are Lucas and...
Yes, the well-known Nintendo character of Lucas.
From Mother 3, the unreleased Earthbound game in the Americas. And who else? I like Cloud. No, I don't. Something in Mithra. There's a new character. Anyway, on to something that Andrew definitely doesn't remember.
Yeah.
Zetas Lepidus, Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century, is a 1999 Disney Channel original movie directed by Kenneth Johnson, starring Kirsten Storms. You may recognize her. Also starring, of course, I didn't include it here, Raven Simone as the best friend, and one of the guys that I think played a terrorist on 24, as the pop star Protozoa. What was Philip Riz? Or maybe, I think you recognize this guy.
Yeah, this guy was, he was in 24, but what did he
play? He was in 24. He wasn't, I think he was like someone's like fiance or something.
He was tourist Reza Nair. Oh, yeah, yeah. He was the guy that kind of like tried to allude to being bad, but it was actually the white chick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Gotta watch out for those white chicks.
Speaking of white chicks, this whole movie is just, so it's set in the early or the late 21st century, where we're all living in space stations around Earth. Xenon Carr.
You mean like...
Yeah. Oh, sorry, it's 2049. Yes.
So like in 30 years, we're living in space stations?
Well, I mean, not all of us. People are still
living on Earth. In 30 years, we're still voting for Donald Trump, even though he's dead.
A jar in a head, or a head in a jar. He has a jar in his head.
Just a Donald Trump, a dead Donald Trump corpse with a jar in his head.
Yep.
Who's president? So
she gets she gets in trouble with the space station's commander, and then her parents punish her by sending her to live with her hippie Earth aunt Judy, for a little while. And while on Earth, she uncovers a plot masterminded by the station's owner, Bigwig, to use a computer virus to crash the space station and collect the insurance money.
Like how insurance fraud, like we live in space, but insurance fraud is still a thing.
Yep. And then she's trying to stop that, and she's trying to get back to the station in time to see her pop idol Protozoa do his performance on the space station. And it all kind of collides, and she saves the day, and it spawned two more sequels. But they had all this like super futuristic space talk, like Zetus Lapidus, which everyone thought she said Zetus Lapidus. Apparently she was saying Cetus. That's C-E-T-U-S. So, Lapidus.
First of all, this yes. type of entertainment, I think, explains a lot of things about our generation. Second of all, Cetus Lapidus, somehow, like, in my mind, it sounds phallic. And I don't know why. Lapidus?
Probably Lapidus. Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with you. It always sounds phallic, although she's a 13-year-old girl, Andrew, in 2049. So she's not even an embryo at this point.
Does Billy Ray Cyrus perform in this movie at the end?
This is prior to like Miley.
A space western?
An Old Town Road, if you will. Oh. So you really don't think we talked about the Daily Show?
I mean, I think we talked about Anderson it roughly. Anderson seems to be
freezing at the moment, so I don't know if that's my fault Craig or Kilborn? His fault, but he is frozen, and I am still here. Oh, he's moving. There he is.
My internet connection is unstable, and I'm hardwired. So
I apologize. So, let me just pull this out further.
That's what she said.
And yeah, so you think we have or don't think we have?
I don't think we have in detail. And also, who the hell is Craig Kilborn? As he says again.
Who is Craig Kilborn?
That sounds like the name of, it sounds like a podcast. Who is Craig Kilborn? Okay, write that down.
That's our next podcast. Except
Craig Kilborn isn't on it. We just have a podcast.
Asking who about- he is.
25 minutes of us going, who is Craig Kilborn? Is he a comedian? Is he an actor? Is he both?
He seemed to have existed in the 90s. These are the stories of the lives that he's come in contact
with. Dun, dun. And then it just cuts to like a dead body. Wait, no, that's... whoops. Wrong one. I have no idea who this bro is. Seriously?
John Stewart?
Craig Kilborn.
Oh, Craig, he was the first host of The Daily Show.
This was where in the world is Craig Kilborn? I like that.
So he left for the Late Late Show. That clearly.
That worked out well for him, yeah.
Yeah. And then Jon Stewart took The Daily Show and it turned into The Daily Show that we knew up until 2016.
It's kind of sad when someone's on a show and the show is like, sort of mired in mediocrity, and then someone else comes in and just like just rockets it into the stratosphere.
And I think, I mean, a lot of that was Stewart, and he brought in his own team. I've listened to the Daily Show audiobook, like about it's the Jon Stewart or Kilborn Jon Stewart era history of the Daily Show, and so it was interesting. Apparently, like, it pissed off a lot of people that John brought in his own people, but then, you know, we got the Daily Show that for at least a decade, if not longer, was news.
Not to mention Craig Kilborn looks like a door-to-door knife salesman.
I'm sure he did sell knives at some point.
Just saying.
I don't know. Any what else do you want to talk about?
I think it was just it's interesting. The shift went from, you know, pop culture focus to more of a political satire and news satire. And I think people appreciate that. The thing that's always funny is that when people think that news satire is real news, like when I see someone who's just not in the know post an Onion article and they think that it's a real article.
I mean, that was the thing. The fact that the fake news program was doing more like research and more actual in-depth reporting than the actual
Well, that's
news.
Like The Onion. Like, their articles started out outrageous. Mm-hmm. And then I don't think The Onion changed. I think the news media changed because now they don't seem outrageous. They seem very believable.
That's true.
But I think this is back then when cable news, like the 24-hour news cycle, was coming into the forefront. But there mm-hmm. wasn't yet like a great forum on the internet for news satire.
Well, I think it really came to a head in the 2002 election, 2004 election. Yeah, I think that was like that was peak Daily Show.
Yep.
Like just that era of Bush is in his first term. We were 9/11. And then we were in the Iraq War, and they sent Rob Corddry to Boston for the I believe it was the Republican National Convention,
right?
And he just it was one of the best bits I remember seeing on the Daily Show,
and that was. It kind of the more recent one where they send someone to the riot. Didn't they send someone to the riots at the Capitol?
Jordan Kepler. Yes.
It harkens Kepler back.
Is a gem. Yes. He could be like Trevor Noah's Colbert if they really wanted to.
I think we talked a little bit about Trevor Noah because I revealed that I didn't know he had an accent for like 3 years.
Yeah, I know we talked about The Daily Show when we covered Craig Kilborn. I don't know how much at length we talked about it, but John Stewart was The Daily Show for such a long time. And I really like Trevor Noah, and I think that his current iteration of The Daily Show is great. It's his own now.
No one's going to do it the same, you know? It's mm-hmm. just never going to be like that again.
Nor should they try.
Right.
Trevor Noah's, even though it's like, you know, he's South African, so it's like, you know, he didn't grow up the same way we did,
right.
Even though his writers are writing jokes for him as if he did.
Yeah.
That's the only weird thing. I'm like, yeah, come on, Trevor, you didn't experience that. You experience much, much worse things. I've read your autobiography.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's in a very progressive country that treats people of color with dignity, respect, and freedom.
I hope everyone took time to celebrate Juneteenth yesterday with quality products, Juneteenth products from Walmart.
Yeah, bought me a gun.
Well, I mean, you've seen what a way to close this out, but you've seen like Walmart had like a Juneteenth ice cream flavor.
What's the ice cream flavor? Minority? Like that's not an ice cream flavor. Stop commercializing it. It's gross.
Yeah. There was a watermelon salad, a Juneteenth watermelon salad at like some kid children's museum.
What the hell's a watermelon salad?
It's a salad primarily of arugula and watermelon.
Oh, okay, no, that's not bad. I had that once with, I think it was arugula, watermelon, and like a white balsamic vinaigrette. It was quite tasty.
Racist watermelon? Stereotype there.
Good God.
Yeah.
I will say white balsamic is really good, actually. If you know.
And then finally, the best one I just saw recently.
Which means the worst one, really.
Exactly, yes. Not me thinking it is the best, it's the worst.
The best of the worst.
Yeah, exactly. And not in a good way. apparently there was, I don't remember which game it was. It might have been, it was one of those like free-to-play games where you get the skins for your
weapons. Oh, I see where this is going. I have a feeling.
Not as bad as you're thinking currently, but it did have like, you got an emblem, and it was the Juneteenth emblem, but the title for the emblem was called Bonobos.
You know, the Nazis had pieces of flair they made the Jews wear.
And that's it for this week's edition of Namely 90s.
End quote.
Remember, you can find new episodes out every Monday. Check the episode description of this week's supplemental Spotify playlist, curated by yours truly. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Namely90s with 90s, or find our personal accounts at BShwitty and at NamelyAndrew, and tell us what you want us to talk about on future episodes. If you'd like to support the show, please check us out at patreon.com/namely90s, also with a 90s. Finally, you can find us. Finally, you can contact us through our website, namely90s.com. Please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Dinjarin, Deezer, TuneIn, iHeart, Good Pods, and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Brandon, that's Andrew, and we will catch you next time. Buzz Lightyear to the rescue!